from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Home and Home.
Sporting event of the weekend, without a doubt, is the heavyweight title fight between Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, part two. But is it worth $80? And is the sport of boxing about to be extinct, or can it hang on with its current niche in the sports universe? Let's talk about it with one of the authors of one of the best sports books of all time. The book is Ali, A Life. He is journalist. He is an author. He is Jonathan Eig, and he joins us here on a Friday. Good to see you, sir. So tell us about this fight this weekend. Look, I'm not a big boxing guy. Why should I give a damn about this fight? Why should I consider paying $80 on pay-per-view? And would you pay $80?
I'm not planning to. If I get a call and somebody invites me over, I might go watch. But I'm not planning to pay for it. And I'll chip in if some other guys are doing it. But I have to say, it's kind of like the last gasp. It's the last heavyweight boxing match that's going to matter for a while. There hasn't been one that mattered for a while. And I just feel like, you know, this should be a good fight. So if you care at all about boxing, and there aren't that many of us left who do, if you care at all about boxing, this is a good one to watch.
You know, Jonathan, I'm glad you said that, because I can't remember the last heavyweight bout that I was even aware of, that I even, like, considered or even talked about. So on that level, I guess it's a real positive that we're having you on, we're talking about it, there's a fight that people are talking about. But I want to go back, because you wrote the Ali biography. And when I talked to my dad and my father-in-law, you know, back when Ali and those guys were around, that was the biggest sport. It was the biggest deal. Everybody watched every fight back then. They would go to different, because Ali used to train near where I'm from in Deer Lake sometimes. People would go, you'd have to drive to gyms or movie theaters or arenas to watch it, closed circuit, and people would do it. Everybody would do it. So I'm hoping you can take us through the evolution of, like, what happened? Like, how do we get from there to here?
You know, it's important to remember that when Ali came along, people were saying heavyweight boxing is dead. And Ali said, I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to revive it. And he did, because those fights in the 70s, Ali Frazier, Ali Foreman, they were bigger than 100 Super Bowls. These were the sporting events. They were, everybody talked about them. And even if you couldn't watch them, if you were a kid and you couldn't go out to the closed circuit and see it in the theater, you'd listen on the radio. Everybody waited for those fights. But even before Ali came along, people were saying boxing was dead. After World War II, the sport lost a lot of popularity. You know, people started saying they got better things to do. There are better ways to make a living. You know, boxing worked when in the Depression, when people were looking for a way out of poverty. But once you got into the 50s and 60s, there were better ways for young kids who were great athletes to work their way out of the ghetto. So boxing just started dying off. All the boxing clubs, I mean, nobody boxes for recreation anymore, but they used to. So once you cut it off as a recreation, once you lose those boxing clubs that were in the neighborhoods, the sport begins to dry out. The talent pool dies out. So Ali brought that back for a little while because he made boxing so exciting in the 60s and 70s. And then you had a little, like, last gasp with Mike Tyson, because he was such a compelling figure. I mean, that he was the small guy who knocked people out so brutally, so viciously, that sparked some interest again. But since Tyson, I would say that, you know, most Americans can't name a single heavyweight boxer.
With the exception of this fight, yeah, if you go back a couple of weeks, I'll be honest, I probably could not name a single heavyweight fighter. Talking with Jonathan Eig, the author of Ali, A Life. It was a significant boost, though, not a minor one, in the 90s when Mike Tyson came back. And this thing was a news event. I would absolutely pay the $100, I believe it was, back then, or something around there. I mean, it was when he lost to Buster Douglas, this was worldwide news. The sport was back with a bang. At what point did it just drop off a cliff?
You know, I think after Tyson, it fell off. And, you know, you had a couple of really strong fighters and some great championships after that, but they didn't have the kind of personality that Ali had, or Tyson even. I mean, Tyson wasn't much of a personality when he was young, but he was a really compelling figure, a really interesting character that you wanted to see. I paid for some of those fights, even though they lasted, 12 seconds. Because everybody was talking about Tyson. He was just this almost mythical figure in his ability to knock people out so quickly. And there's always something compelling about a fight. It's just something people are drawn to. But when you don't have the personalities, when you don't have the great rivalries, when you don't have, like this weekend's fight, it's compelling. They're two really strong punchers. This should be a really good fight, but I couldn't really tell you. I don't think most Americans could name them or tell you anything about their characters or about the personal side of their rivalry. It doesn't have the same drama that the old fights used to have.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Dave. Like, even when we were younger, Tyson was such a big deal. And then I feel like Holyfield wasn't as big of a deal, but we still knew him. Like, I'm trying to figure out when it was that it just kind of disappeared. Because even when Holyfield was the heavyweight champ, it wasn't as big a deal as Tyson. But we still knew it was Holyfield, and we still wanted to see the Holyfield foreman or Holyfield whoever. There was Lennox Lewis, Riddick. But it just, like, I feel like maybe after Lennox Lewis, it just dropped off the face of the earth, it feels like.
Yeah, part of the problem is that it's hard to know who's the champion. There's so many different titles. There's no one governing body, so there's no one organization promoting the fights. MMA is a brand. They know how to market themselves. Boxing is all these different brands, and they've never done a good job of marketing. There's no central boxing organization that is figuring out how to promote these fights, how to make compelling stories out of them. We like stories. We like to root for heroes. We like to root for the bad guy. And boxing just hasn't had any of that since Tyson, really.
Talking with Jonathan Eig, the author of Ali, A Life, and that's why I'm so surprised. A little backstory about this upcoming fight. They had a pushing incident on camera earlier in the week, and the Nevada Athletic Commission decided there would be no face-off today during the weigh-in, which seems totally counterproductive to me. These two get it. Wilder and Fury get it. They understand the personality. I thought the pushing, in fact, looked awfully staged. Isn't this the type of thing that boxing ought to embrace and promote rather than run from it?
That's right. I mean, controversy is good, and fighting is what it's all about. You want to know that there's some bad blood between these guys. You want to know that they want to kill each other. That's why we pay to watch. And for the boxing officials to downplay that or to try to eliminate it is foolish. I mean, say what you want about Don King. He was a wild guy. He was kind of crazy, and he was, making more money than his fighters sometimes. But the man knew how to promote a fight. He knew how to make you want to watch, and the world would respond. And there's nobody really, pulling the strings right now for boxing to keep it in front of the public. What do they do for social media? What do they do on to find young fans? They're just not doing it.
All right. So then I got a couple other questions related to that. How much have they been hurt, first of all, by MMA, in your opinion?
I think they've been hurt a lot. I mean, the young people I know, my kids and my friends' kids, they're into MMA because it's a great spectacle. It's exciting to go to one of those fights and to watch them on TV. They know how to market. They've built a great brand. So I think that's hurt boxing tremendously. These kids aren't interested in this weekend's fight.
And then the follow-up to that is, and maybe since what you just said about MMA, maybe the answer to this next question is no. But with all the CTE stuff and the repetitive hits to the head in boxing, what we know about that from football, Ali and, you know, Parkinson's and all of that stuff, do you think that's had an impact or no?
Yeah, I think that's had a huge impact because, first of all, people aren't going into boxing for that very reason. You know, who's going to let their kid box these days knowing that they are almost certain to have, you know, serious medical issues from that? So you don't have the talent pool. No, you know, if you're a great athlete coming up in America today, you've got way better choices than boxing. So you are, you know, the future of the sport is really grim because you're just not going to see the talent coming up. And as a result of that, because nobody boxes for fun, you're not that interested in watching it either. And of course, you know, there's a lot of people who feel like it's brutal. I don't want to watch somebody trying to concuss somebody else. It's just, you know, it's sad.
It is sad. Talking to Randy Eich, the author of Ali, A Life, and doing all that research, what surprised you the most about Ali? What would surprise our listeners? You feel like you know him so well. We've seen the story play out on the big screen, and of course, those who are alive for his career. But what would be the most surprising thing to listeners, to viewers, or even it was to you?
Well, you know, he started showing signs of brain damage as early as the first Frazier fight, 1971, according to his doctor. And that was a lot earlier than I expected. So he fought for another 10 years, already showing signs of CTE. And by the mid-70s, he started recognizing it himself. He started asking his family and his friends, do you think I'm showing my speech is slowing down? Do I sound like I've got brain damage to you? And you could hear it. You could tell. And, you know, I actually worked with CompuBox to count all the punches that Ali took. And we calculated that he took something like 200,000 punches over the course of his career. That's just, you know, it's inescapable that you're going to have some damage from that.
You know, speaking of sports that might be dying, Jonathan, I know that you're into baseball as well. Boy, you can really pick them, man, baseball and boxing. I guess that is the first question, which is, what is your level of concern that baseball could slip into similar to what's happened to boxing? Because it feels like baseball is losing traction, especially with young people, every year.
Yeah, I think it's right. You know, it just goes to show you how old I am, I guess. You know, my other, I'm going to keep rooting for bowling to make a comeback too, I guess. But it's grim, and I feel like this cheating scandal certainly doesn't help. But baseball had problems to begin with. You don't see young fans at the ballpark. They've got the nets up now, so the young fans can't even try to get autographs from their favorite players before the game. The players have become more remote. The games have become too expensive. I want to take my three kids to a ball game. I'm going to end up spending $200 before I even, you know, park the car. So it's you know, the baseball's doing a bad job of appealing to younger fans. The game is too slow. It's boring. My kids want to bring their, you know, phones and just, you know, mess around on Snapchat. They're not even watching the game. Why should I spend that money to go to a ball game when they're just going to be bored? So baseball's got some serious problems, and that's why it's not the most popular sport anymore. That's why, football and basketball and soccer even are making gains while baseball is slipping in popularity.
Yeah, you want a challenge? Bring your kids to a baseball game and tell them they can't be on their cell phones. I've tried it, and I failed. I don't think I made it to the third inning. Yeah, that's a good point. I can't take them to the store, to the grocery store, and they'll stay off of them. But you wrote The Luckiest Man, and back to that Astros cheating scandal. How does that compare historically? I've been stunned at how the players 100% down the line, with the exception of former player David Ortiz, who we'll talk about later, the players have lined up against the Astros, and they are hammering them. Even Yankees, who have Gerrit Cole on their team. How does this scandal compare historically?
I think it's the greatest scandal in baseball history. It certainly makes Pete Rose look like nothing. And even the Black Sox, that was one week of cheating, a few games. This is years of cheating. And for the Astros to botch that press conference and to say, oh, we don't think it had any effect on the outcome of games. I mean, what a joke. Then why were they doing it? I think this is a serious scar on baseball. I think it's something they'll be talking about for the rest of as long as anyone's interested in baseball, they're going to be talking about this scandal. And I think that so far the league has done a very poor job of handling it, and the players have done a poor job of handling it. They need to, you know, extract a pound of flesh from this team and from these players. They need to really come down hard on them if they want to restore the integrity of the game.
Jonathan I coming out swinging there. The greatest scandal in baseball history. He's the author of Ali, A Life. Final question for you, and you're not prepared for this one. It has nothing to do with sports, as we often tend to stray here on Home and Home. So, Jonathan, I want you to put yourself in this scenario. You're on an airplane flight with your wife. You book the middle seat and the aisle seat, as my wife and I tend to do, hoping that no one fills said middle seat. Well, yesterday, someone did fill that middle seat, and I thought my wife would move to the middle. She did not even consider it, you know, because she wants her aisle, and I want my window. How would you play that situation, and is there a concern? Is the honeymoon over?
Now, the wife is always right. She gets whatever seat she wants, in my book.
Okay.
Smart man. Smart man. I like that. I like that. That's a good way of looking at it. You're not wrong.
Thank you.
No, that's a smart man. That's a historian.
I've been married a long time.
Wrote Luckiest Man and one of those great 10 sports books of all time, Ali, A Life. We recommend you check out all of his work. Jonathan, great pleasure having you on. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Good talking to you.
Hi, everyone. This is Dave Briggs. Thanks for listening to the Home and Home podcast. Remember, you can watch or listen live every day from 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. exclusively on the radio.com app or at radio.com/home.
Home and Home.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.